mother made us into swimmers. She threw us straight into the river.
This is Mary Jane from PiratePods.com, and I'm with...
Jason Webley from Seattle.com, or Seattle.
How would you describe yourself or your musical self to people who are unfamiliar?
I try to avoid doing that. I feel like my job is to try to make the music, and hopefully other people will describe it.
If you wrote a definition of yourself in Urban Dictionary, how would it go?
This is the same kind of thing.
No, but Urban Dictionary is different.
I would never write a definition of myself in Urban Dictionary.
That's Did you know that you're in there?
Probably, yeah, and someone else wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a really boring definition, though.
How would you spice
it up?
Maybe it should be boring. Maybe that's my urban legend, is some boring guy with a hat that plays accordion.
So I read that you would eventually like to complete 11 collaborative projects. Who do you want to work with in the future?
Ultimately, I hope to do more than 11 projects. I'm a little more than halfway through a project of doing 11 little records with different musician friends. And mostly it's just, you know, friends that I encounter that I end up making them with. And I've got the next few anyway kind of figured out. As to who I would dream of collaborating with, I don't usually think that way so much. I kind of just dream of collaborating, of working with the people that kind of naturally come into my life and that are awesome and that I feel comfortable working with. Anyone that I admired a whole lot, I'd probably not feel very comfortable working with.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't admire my friends that I've worked with, but I feel like we're peers. And, you know, I always joked that I would love to do some kind of record with Leonard Cohen, and I always joked similarly that I'd love to try my hand at producing Michael Jackson, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to miss my chance on both of those. I seem to have lost one of them anyway.
Yeah. So once you reach the 11 mark, are you just going to start over?
No, I'll probably be done with that thing. And then, you know, if someday down the road there's some other kind of collaboration, maybe that will happen. But that I'm kind of looking forward to getting done with all of those. It's taken longer than I expected.
So one of your projects was Evelyn Evelyn. What was it like working with the Evelyn sisters?
It was great. That was a really fun project, especially the beginning of it. Just because I think writing songs with... I've written songs with a lot of people, but writing songs with Amanda, like, we really actually kind of challenged each other. You know, like, I think on a lot of the other projects, you know, we just, both me and the other person, we would just throw stuff out and we'd be like, yeah. And I think I would be more like, oh, no, not that occasionally. But generally things would roll along. And with Amanda, it was more like we managed to like kind of step on each other's toes a bit more, like, and we would actually fight about things a little more. And, you know, like I'd write something, she'd be like, no, not that. And I'd be like, but it's good. She's like, no. And it was good in a way, like to have like a stronger filter that everything had to get written through. And the first batch of stuff came really, really quickly. And we realized that it would be more fun to, there was enough material to actually do a whole album instead of just doing the little EP.
Where tonight, what shall we eat today? Think I should marry him?
We just met him yesterday.
Should we be movie stars? Will we be millionaires? I want to be famous.
They're watching us anyway.
Evelyn,
Evelyn,
why do we bother to
stay? Why are you running away?
Don't you feel like severing
Evelyn?
Do you think that's a project you'll revisit?
I think on one hand, it's a project that maybe got stretched out a bit farther than it needed to. I think it was originally conceived to be the smaller thing and then got stretched into like being an album and a bigger tour. And it's now being released as a graphic novel, which I'm hopeful that you know, will be well received. I don't know that, you know, the album didn't sell incredibly well. I mean, it did all right, but, and the tour wasn't, there were some nights that were amazing, but it wasn't a hugely successful tour. So I at the moment, I'm kind of happy to let it rest a bit and see. We're going to do a couple little performances, one in Australia at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and we're talking about doing it at the Edinburgh Fringe as well. But otherwise, I don't think we're going to tour it again anytime that I can foresee. And I'm not sure that the Evelyn sisters haven't written any new songs. You know, it's been like two years or so since they stopped recording, yeah. And they still haven't written any new songs. So I don't see them putting out a new album anytime soon.
In December, you put on a Monsters of Accordion tour. How did that go?
It was great. It's a tour I do every year, and this was my favorite one. All the venues were great, all the audiences were great, and the lineup was just really, really amazing. It was myself, this fellow Corn Mo from New York, the Petrovich Blasting Company from Los Angeles, and then my friend Rene De La Prada from the Bay Area. And I don't know, I could go on forever about how each of them are amazing, but it was just a really, really, really fun show, and made me really happy every night to have put that together.
Yeah. Well, what does it take to be considered a monster of accordion to get on the bill?
It's tricky. Yeah. At this point, what I like most is some kind of very stripped down accordion driven act that has a bit of an edge to it, and that preferably is doing original material rather than covers and things. Like I prefer some person that's you know, presenting their thing, usually solo acts. But this year we had the Petrovich brothers, who are a trio. The main thing is just to be awesome, you know, and real. And I've met a few other accordion players in this past year that I'd be very excited to bring on the tour in the future. I know too many awesome accordion players at this point. It's kind of great.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned you prefer individual work as opposed to covers. Are mm-hmm. there any songs that you like to cover, though, when you play?
I've got a few songs. There's a Nick Drake song that I do on accordion sometimes to start out my set. I've been occasionally doing this Neutral Milk Hotel song, and there's a Leonard Cohen song that I worked out on guitar that, you know, I occasionally would play. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, and sometimes I do really stupid covers, you know, those first three are songs that I present as songs, and then other things I'll just kind of make a mess out of because it's fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't like to do a lot of covers.
What made you want to pick up the accordion?
I was working on a play at the University of Washington my last year of school, and I felt like the last act needed something different, and I thought that the accordion would be a good sound for it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an Eastern European play. And my parents had picked up an accordion at a garage sale, and I borrowed it and kind of figured out how to play a couple songs. Mm-hmm.
Is it relatively easy to pick up?
Yes, yeah, bend with your knees.
Wait, what?
You just bend with your knees.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm laughing on the inside.
I know. Sorry, everyone. No, I mean, the accordion's designed. Everyone feels like it's this really confusing thing, but it's designed to be an instrument that anyone can make music, you know, like accordion, like automatic chord machine. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like there's all those buttons, each one produces a chord that, you know, normally you'd have to figure out all the voicings or have a whole string quartet playing or, you know, and here on the accordion, you just press a button and there's the chord. And so it's just a matter of figuring out the system of the buttons. And it's, for playing really simple songs, which is pretty much all I ever do, the system's very simple.
Have you ever sustained any accordion-related injuries while you're playing on stage?
My back and neck hurt right now. I don't know if that's exactly... I mean, it's definitely accordion-related. I once busted my finger open on the keys, and like as playing and playing, I noticed it felt weird, like, and the keys were like sticky or something. And eventually I looked and there was just blood all over them. But that was probably the. Any other? I dropped my accordion on my foot once while I was at an airport. Anyway.
Little sister, I confess you've been present on my mind. With your mystery undressed and my heart scrubbed bare, but cleave out to find time. But still, she insists there are no fairy tales we end before we start. I start to break as she fades and disappears. And knowing I'm with her, I feel so much joy and brokenness. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard to know how to hold your sister.
Do you prefer street performances to planned venues?
I used to always, like, vocally talk about how much I preferred playing on the street. But I feel like at this point in my life, I've transitioned out of that. I think it was awesome. It was a great way to, like, begin to find an audience and a great way for me to find my teeth as a performer. But ultimately it's too exhausting because I'm a workaholic, and if my venue is the street, I kind of always feel like I should be out working. Whereas now I play an hour and a half a day, and I know when it is, and it's, you know, the rest of the time I spend, you know, planning other things. And yeah.
Do you have a really memorable performance that stands out? Like, is there a time that you just randomly went out on the street to play and something incredibly amazing happened?
So in the street performing days, Well, the biggest one is kind of the end. I'd already pretty much stopped street performing, but I would still go back and busk at a few festivals every year. And I think it's probably kind of the last time I ever street performed, really. It was at this festival, Bumbershoot, that I'd been playing at for years in Seattle. And I'd kind of developed a following within the festival, even though I wasn't an official part of it. Like, you know, like 100 kids would, like, kind of gather around me, and I'd wander around and play all day. And at some point in that festival, I realized I didn't want to come back and do it again, that my time with that was over. And it was in the middle of the night. It was, like, the late part of the festival, when it's usually not good for busking. And I just kind of started playing the accordion on my own, not really to gather a crowd, and people started turning up. And it was nice because, you know, like at that point I was known at the festival, so I always had this entourage, but I didn't have the entourage right then. And the people that came up were fresh, and it felt real and good again. And I started building up momentum, and I told people, like, I think this is the last time I'm going to play at this festival. And as I gathered a bigger crowd and bigger crowd, I kept kind of ranting about how when I was a little kid, I used to go and run and play in this fountain. And that one last time before I left, I want to go down, and I invited everyone to join me. And so it was like this huge crowd of like 300 people. And it was like really a great street performing crowd. And I didn't have my case open. Like, there was no money involved. At the end of a song, you know, I threw down my instrument and ran down to this fountain, and all these people followed me. And when I got down there, the fountain was off, which was very disappointing. But it wasn't entirely off. It was just not spraying water. Like, just like this cascade of water was coming down. And I kind of slowed, and I pressed my face against it, and it felt so cool and cleaning And all these hands, like thousands of little hands, all started like grabbing me and pushing me. And before I knew it, I was up on top of this thing, which is this huge arc, this huge dome, rather. And there's this sound, it's like, and it was all of the people like playing on the dome with their fists. And then the next thing I knew, there were all these lights shining on me. At some point, I became aware that those lights were all police officers who had megaphones and had been asking me to get down off the fountain. And there were all these people, like much more than the 300, like this huge crowd had formed, and everyone was like, you know, cheering and going crazy. And I slide down off the fountain and get arrested. And as they're like dragging me away, you know, I'm soaking wet, I'm ecstatic, and they're like, they say, now you did it. Now you'll never be able to play here again.
So you have a mugshot out there?
I don't think they, it was because it was on the Seattle Center grounds. I think it wasn't an actual arrest. I don't know, I still don't know, quite, but yeah, I wasn't booked or anything.
Oh, okay. Do you have, like, a message for humanity you'd like to get across? Maybe not necessarily through your music, but through your life?
Yeah, but again, it's kind of like the, what I would write, how I would describe my music or, you know, write a definition of myself. I feel like it's encapsulated in everything that I do publicly and say and sing and write, and it's not distillable to a phrase. You know, I love life, and I hope to that my love of life is contagious. There's a lot of like dark things in the world, but. And there's all sorts of battles that, you know, can maybe be won or maybe can't be won. But that's, like, the one thing that each of us individually has that we can, you know, cherish and protect, even if things become horrible, is remaining optimistic, remaining in love with life, remaining, you know, yeah, that's...
So you've got a... good year, I guess, of touring coming up. Is there anything else you're really excited about?
I'm taking a big break at the end of this year. I'm going to take about a year off from touring after this big show I have coming up in Seattle, and I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about doing all these last shows leading up to it, just because knowing that I'm going to stop it fuels it in a different way.
All right, well, I just have three real silly questions I always ask everyone. And the first one is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
I don't know. I've used the word awesome twice in this interview. And it's funny. I don't know if it's really, it's not a slang term. I don't use a lot of slang, I don't think. But the word awesome in a small circle of friends was, you know, like, punishable with, you know, getting, like hit. And somewhere, I never used to say awesome, but I think somewhere within that game, it entered my vocabulary.
I'm pretty sure that's how you're described in Urban Dictionary.
As awesome?
Yeah.
So there we go.
What's your drink of choice?
I like carrot juice a lot, but I haven't had it in a while.
And how do you feel about eyeliner?
Oh, it takes a long time to get off.
Yeah.
I prefer not to have it on me. And when I do, I feel, it takes, you know, a few weeks before I fully feel like it's not on me. That's all.
She says, I've come across these waters, high pressed on by such auspicious signs. I've watched the stars, read the tides. The winds have brought me to your side. I come to you, I am your bride. Grew cold as I replied that I am not your lover. I'm the map you used to find him. I am not your lover. I'm just a map you used to find him. And yeah.